Okay. I'm going to ask you some background questions here. So what is today's date and time?
It is May 11th at 4:41 p.m. Central.
And what is your name?
My name is Nate. Last name's Hainer.
And do you mind sharing some demographic information for the study, like race, ethnicity, age, and gender?
Sure. White, male, 36 years old.
Okay. And what are the primary things you do on a day-to-day basis, like your job, extracurricular activities?
Well, before this happened, I was working all the time. I work for a tech startup in New York City. And after, aside from that, you know, I obviously go out with friends a couple times a week and play computer games.
Yeah. And so you were living in New York, but where do you live now?
So now I am just outside of Madison, Wisconsin, in my parents' basement at 36 years old.
What's it like to live there?
I mean, I'm fairly lucky that we have a large space here and that we have internet. I think if this happened even 10 years ago, people would have lost their minds.
I think people may be losing their minds.
Yeah. But it's okay here, you know, because while I'm sure I'm getting on their nerves, we have a lot of space, we have a lot of food, we have safety. It's night and day here being in the suburbs, in Wisconsin as to where it was in New York City when I left. It was actually getting kind of scary there.
And how long ago did you leave?
I think, let's take a look. I left about a month ago. Early April is when I got back here.
And when you first learned about COVID-19, what were your thoughts about it? And have your thoughts changed since then?
Oh, absolutely. When I first heard about it, I thought it was going to be exactly like SARS or the Middle Eastern version, where there'd be a handful of deaths overseas and we'd hear about it, and then that would be it. Obviously, as time went on, you know, again, and it happened quickly in New York. I was there one day joking with the guy at the bodega, the local corner store where everyone gets everything. I was joking with him one day. I said, oh, you're not worried. He said, no, I'm not worried. Next day, he was wearing gloves. Day after that, he was wearing a face mask. And the next day I went there, the whole place was closed down. And that's when I knew it was serious, because that's where everyone gets their food. It's not like there's, you know, supermarkets everywhere around in that area, especially that neighborhood. So now I think, I mean, my whole perception's changed. I think it's, you know, it's very real. A lot of people are going to suffer, not just in terms of the disease itself, but all of the things that come along with it. Economics, isolation, I think all of that takes a heavy toll on people.
Sure. And what issues have you most concerned about the pandemic?
Well, selfishly, my biggest concern returning was potentially being exposed to it and then perhaps giving it to my parents or someone in Wisconsin, you know. I didn't want to have that happen, so I followed the full quarantine, like strict quarantine, 2 weeks in the basement, you know, no contact sort of a thing. Luckily, there was no issues with that. Overall, my biggest concern, aside from just the actual sheer loss of life, is kind of the weird split I'm seeing in society, you know, where it seems like people are either taking it very serious or they're convinced it's a conspiracy, and it seems like they're just, it's driving a wedge, you know?
And with your employment, how has COVID-19 affected your job?
I mean, it's a disaster to go from, you know, New York City making a ton of money, being, you know, going to an office in a suit every day in Midtown to being in my parents' basement making Zoom calls, you know, when we have things going on. But a lot of the work we were doing has dried up. You know, we were working in staffing, AI-based artificial intelligence staffing. We could find candidates for people. I won't bore you with the details. But no one's hiring right now. It's gone the opposite direction. We're all kind of just sitting on our hands waiting to see what happens.
Sure. And what concerns do you have about the effects of COVID-19 on your employment and the economy more broadly?
Well, I think that I'm of the opinion there was going to be a recession at some point, regardless of this. I think this obviously made it worse. Seeing the unemployment numbers are crazy. You know, what is it? 34 million unemployed. Even in the Great Recession, it was a fraction of that. I think this will absolutely have lasting impacts on the economy. But I also wonder, when people get back to it, if there is a certain day where everything's back functioning, I think that would be a great time to start a restaurant. Because I think everyone's going to be going out to eat. Everyone's going to be going to the movies. I think it'll be an interesting bounce back. But it will affect things long term, I'm sure.
Yeah. How has COVID-19 pandemic affected the employment of other people you know, and in what ways? Are your parents still working?
They're both retired, luckily, because, you know, that would have been an issue, especially because, you know, my mother was a teacher and my dad was a letter carrier. So he would still be out there in the thick of it, you know, but they recently retired, just as luck would have it. I have I know so many people, friends and family members that are just out of work. Anyone I knew that worked in the service industry is just out of luck, you know? And I still have friends in New York City that are really struggling. I know there's a gal I know who is from, she's from Russia, right? And she worked as a server and made good money. Well, she's just out of luck now, and she can't get unemployment either. So she basically is here with no family, nothing, you know? So, you know, I sent her $100 or something, but that's not going to last her. So I know a lot of people like that, where they're just out of a job, no idea when they'll be back to work.
Was there any kind of moratorium on rent or bills in New York?
God, so this annoys me. There's a moratorium on eviction, so you cannot be evicted for a couple of months. However, what the landlords have done is they're saying, okay, you don't have to pay March or April rent or May rent. But then on June 1st, you're responsible for all 3 months. That doesn't help anyone. If you're not working, you can't. And in New York, where rent is at least $1,000 a month, even for the crappiest apartment. So that means you have to come up with $3,000 over a time period that you haven't been working at all. It's really crazy to me that they think that's going to be a good solution.
Right. How has COVID-19 affected you and your family in your day-to-day activities?
Again, I think I got somewhat lucky. I have a lot of friends who are really losing their minds. Luckily, because of the video games and stuff, I'm kind of okay hanging out in front of the internet. And I'm surrounded by, you know, family members for the first time in, you know, 15 years. I'm back at my, you know, my parents' house. So we're okay. It's still novel. It's still like good to be catching up with family members. But we're obviously not doing anything outside of the house whatsoever. We're just kind of stuck here. My mom or dad will go grocery shopping once a week and fill up. And that's pretty much the extent of it. Just, there's not a lot to do aside from we can go out in the yard and, you know, but they're not even having, you know, my dad usually has a weekly get together with his buddies, and they're not even doing that, just out of fear of being in too close proximity.
Right. And I think that area had a lot of cases, and did.
So Dane County area had a lot of cases for Wisconsin. Again, you know, it's less than like 1,000 people, whereas in New York, they're saying what 20-30% of the population probably has been exposed. So to me, it feels infinitely safer, but it's still high for the area.
Right. How has COVID-19 affected the way that you associate and communicate with your friends and family?
Well, all in-person stuff is done. You know, I had to, you see my happy birthday sign here. I had to do my birthday over Zoom, which was, it would be heartbreaking if everyone wasn't doing things like that right now. You know, the only positive of this is I completely have no FOMO, no fear of missing out, because I know everyone's in the same boat, stuck at home right now.
Yeah. What have been the biggest challenges that you faced during COVID-19?
Well, I mean, the decision to leave New York was a really big one. you know, and it's going to have lasting impacts financially based on just the way we had to kind of leave our work where it was at. Mm-hmm. And the company was on the cusp of being acquired. So there's all sorts of issues that have come up with this, and we don't know where it will land. But yeah, the biggest impacts to me personally have just been isolation based, like sitting at home. I'm very lucky that I'm here, like I said, in a house with surrounded by family members, but I have no idea what will happen. I have no idea if this job will exist when I go back, you know?
Right. Did you keep your apartment or did you give it up?
Yeah, it's still there. I'm fortunate in that I can pay, you know, every month. I've been keeping up with it. Mm-hmm. If it was a situation where I had to pay $1,200 a month for the 3 months, and at the end of it, they'd say, I would have just walked away from it, started over somewhere else. Cause it's, yeah. That would be such a huge annoyance, you know?
Right.
But that's another problem is my stuff is all just sitting there. You know, I flew back I was the only person on a flight, myself and one stewardess, direct from New York City to Madison was $80 first class. That's normally a $550 flight.
Right.
It plus that's just coach. Yeah. So I couldn't believe it, but I knew things were serious when I was on that plane.
Right. So what have you, your family, and friends done for recreation during COVID-19?
Aside from beating Red Dead Redemption, the video game, aside from getting into other online video games, Last Oasis, Remnant. Look, this is going to be important stuff in the future, Jack. People are going to want to know what we were doing. I've been playing a lot of online video games. I basically will work for about 4 hours a day. And that's not me being lazy. That's stretching it. I really only have 2 hours of work a day.
Right.
And then I at least can communicate with friends by playing online video games, you know, because we can't go anywhere.
What other games?
Oh, man. We did some Borderlands, the new Borderlands, you know. And I'm telling you, if you haven't seen Last Oasis, you got to watch it on a YouTube video.
I haven't played or seen any of these games.
Yeah, they're worth checking out. I've been watching a lot of YouTube videos. I got YouTube Premium. That's my new entertainment, you know, because television, I'm getting real tired of watching and I was keeping up on it. I was watching the daily president briefing, you know, and I truly don't try not to care one way or the other. Like, I don't think one political party is better than the other necessarily, but I can't watch that stuff anymore because it's – some of the things I hear are so absurd that it's just frustrating.
Right. So how has the outbreak affected your community? That could be either in New York or where you are now.
Well, I'll do both just to be safe. In New York, I think it's really devastated things. Mm-hmm. The people that have resources have gotten out, but there's so many more that do not. The neighborhood I'm in, Bushwick, Brooklyn, is split about, I wouldn't say 50-50, but it's a split between low-income working families, mainly Hispanic, and white hipsters who like the neighborhood, right? Think it's cool to live there. The majority of those people, especially if they have trust funds or they got out of there. But the people that are still there are completely isolated. Again, I've talked to friends where they're the only person in the building there. And the worst aspect of that to me is if you get sick in New York, they tell you not to come into the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just sick as hell with no one to watch over you. I can't think of something that would be more frightening to me if you're, like, truly ill, you know?
And how are people around you responding to the pandemic?
I think the majority of people I know are ready for it to be done. Luckily, I think the 85% of the people I know are taking it seriously and are willing to wait it out in hopes of flattening the curve or not making things worse. And then there's about 15% of people I know, and these are not bad people. They're smart people. They're just, for whatever reason, they think this is a conspiracy and mm-hmm. they want it to be done. And they're saying things like wearing masks is counterproductive. How dare they? This isn't constitutional. And again, I'm open to hearing those sorts of things, but I think this is an unprecedented event and we shouldn't make it worse.
How have you seen people around you change their opinions, day-to-day activities, or relationships in response to the pandemic?
I know a lot of people that are married that are losing their minds, you know, just because they've been stuck indoors with their spouses forever. I actually have seen a lot of people shifting, you know, with my mom being a teacher, saying, wow, we should pay teachers more. People who would have never said that 4 months ago, because they're stuck with their kids all day and they're like, wow, this is actually work. You know, I thought they just, you know, didn't have to do anything. At the same time, there is a small percentage of people I'm seeing, like I said, that were smart, normal people that have gone really conspiracy minded. Mm-hmm. There's someone I know from your neck of the woods, from Eau Claire, who was like more or less normal, who was constantly posting things about Plandemic, the movie, and how we must watch it, and this is all a conspiracy. And I even went ahead and checked it out myself just out of curiosity. And while I don't think things like that should be censored, it's so, the points that they make are so far-fetched at certain points that it's just laughable to me. But some people are taking that stuff real seriously. And there's, it seems like there's certain people that are very susceptible to that kind of thinking. They want there to be a big shadow government, the cause of all their problems. And they're going deeper and deeper into that stuff. And they're getting a little nutty about it, you know?
Right. So self-isolation and flattening the curve have been the two key ideas that have emerged during the pandemic. How have you, your family, friends, community responded to requests to self-isolate and flatten the curve?
So locally, I mean, we've taken it very serious here. As I mentioned, when I came back from New York, I had 2 weeks where I was in the basement, people like leaving food on the stairs, you know, no contact because I didn't want to deal with that. And we really aren't leaving the house except for groceries. So I think we're taking it really seriously here. People in New York who have seen the death firsthand are taking it crazy seriously. That having been said, I am surprised when I go out in the Madison area and I go outside and I see people just, you know, 4 or 5, 6 people into a yard just chatting it up on lawn chairs. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're taking it as seriously as people in New York City are.
Right. You didn't see any of that in New York?
No. When I left, people were, like, scared, you know? They were staying very far away from each other, literally weaving out of their way, you know, to avoid people. And this is usually such a congested city that... Mm-hmm. Now, granted, that was just my experience very briefly. I'm sure there are pockets of people that are out and about causing problems.
Mm-hmm. How has COVID-19 changed your relationships with family, friends, and community?
Well, I think you lose touch with, you know, casual friends that you would see out, you know, maybe a couple times a month. But thanks to the internet, I've been able to stay in touch with my close friends in a way that wouldn't have been possible even 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, we've done Zoom meetings for birthdays. We have a once a week get together where my friends will hop on a Zoom meeting and just, you know, talk trash about one another. So it's kind of good that we have that. And I don't think that I personally have really suffered in terms of my direct relationships yet. If this drags on, who knows what the outcome will be.
Yeah. So have you or anybody you know gotten sick during the COVID-19?
So I do know 2 people from New York. Actually, the gal who I was talking about earlier, the Russian gal, her roommate is sick. Mm-hmm. They actually think that she might have been sick as well with it, but luckily they had very mild. It presented very mild. You know, they said they felt like they had a bad cold, flu-like symptoms for a few days, and then they were okay. Other than that, I have a friend whose father passed away, but luckily it hasn't directly impacted me outside of, you know, acquaintances and people I know's ring of friends.
The person who passed away, where were they located?
Actually, they were in Canada. Wow. That's the craziest thing. They were in Toronto. And I don't think of Toronto as being like a hot spot, but apparently their father got sick. They told him to go home and rest. All right. So he's like a guy's guy who doesn't want to be a bother. And within 48 hours, he was having difficulty breathing and, you know, he had passed away before they could do anything. Or no one really knows how to respond to that. Like, do you rush over there and try to help? What can you do? Right. You know, if you're no, you don't have a ventilator, yeah, wouldn't even know how to work one of those. Right. If I have one.
In what ways do you think that it's been affecting people's mental health?
Oh, I mean, it's incredible. I think it's fascinating to me that a lot of people I know who were like really like strong, independent types have actually been hit really hard. You know, I know a lot of people that are like posting like teary videos on Instagram about how they can't handle this anymore. And I think they're just extroverts are getting hit so hard. People that need that sort of physical contact. Isolation in and of itself is having effects on people. I think the worst effects I've seen are from people who need to make money to like support their families who can't right now. Because not only are you at home isolated, they're just thinking about the money, you know? I mean, I'm very fortunate that I'm like filthy rich right now. Because otherwise, you know, it would be a problem. That's a joke. You look disgusted with me. I'm lucky that I was making a lot of money in New York. Because if you were sitting at home thinking about how you're not making money, I could see it being completely psychologically destructive.
Right. And what have been your primary sources of news during the pandemic? Are you like going to the internet or watching TV?
So I do watch, I try to watch the president briefing. I've stopped recently, but I usually watch that every day. Every time I get an alert that Cuomo, Governor Cuomo is on, I watch that because that's kind of a balance to the Trump administration. Again, I have problems with both of them. So I'm not saying like one's superior, at least not openly on this video. But in addition to that, I use the internet. Again, you know, I'm watching YouTube videos from to get sort of sources directly, as well as just weird stuff, you know, Reddit. I'm always on Reddit looking up there. The news comes in fast. And honestly, I get alerts. I'm really shocked by the number of alerts I've been getting because it went from like none. So I get Daily Mail, Vanity Fair, Wall Street Journal, all sending alerts to my phone whenever something big happens. Mm-hmm. I feel fairly well informed.
Right. And has the way that you've acquired news or the sources that you use, has that changed at all? Or are you still using the same sources? Like before the pandemic, were you going to YouTube to watch videos about things?
No. So before the pandemic, I was going YouTube to watch people shoot at Tannerite and blow things up, you know, or building a video game computer or something. Now I'm actually watching independent-ish news sources on YouTube. So that's new for sure.
Sure. And what do you think are important issues that the media may or may not be covering?
I think that they're covering a lot of, you know, I'm getting a lot of numbers, which is great, actual hard data on where the cases are, things like that. I think that's great. The thing that I don't see covered a lot, and I think it's just by the nature of it, is exactly what I'm talking about, that sort of wedge that I'm seeing being driven. Mm-hmm. You know, I wish they would take some of these conspiracy theories or even plandemic and do a full review, which I'm sure exists, but do a full point by point, like this is accurate, they're right about this, or this is utter nonsense, you know, because I'm seeing a ton of people posting articles on Facebook that are verifiably false within 5 minutes of Googling, but I don't know if other people are going to do that Googling themselves or if they're just going to take it at face value.
Right. How have the municipal leaders and government officials in your community responded to the outbreak?
So in New York, aside from initially, where, you know, I was in Europe in early February, and I remember there were a couple cases there. When I got back in mid-February, you know, de Blasio and them said, go out to eat. Keep using the train. Don't worry about it. Hindsight's 2020. You know, everyone was saying that. Looking back on it, that was a disastrous decision. You know, they think that's what everyone being on the subway, even if you only have 2-3 people in the city that have it, and you're all forced in a small tube like that, it causes serious spread. So I think after they realize that, they've done a good job there. I think the local governments in Wisconsin haven't done as good of a job, at least not with I know a lot of people who still aren't getting unemployment, even though that they filed a month and a half ago. And they say, don't worry, stay calm, you'll get your money. It's like, yeah, but people, if you don't have money saved, you're out of luck. You know, if you don't get that something coming in, what do they expect you to do? And I'm very sympathetic of this, because they expect people to sit at home as if you'd planned, you have emergency savings, you saved up food. But if they don't, what do? You know, ask friends and family for help and you'll get some, but even those networks are wearing thin. You know, I see a lot of people ask for things on Facebook where if this would have happened 2 months ago, they might have gotten a bunch of it, but people are really worried about their own finances and long-term stability. So it's tough to give right now.
And do you have any thoughts on how local, state, or federal leaders are responding to the crisis differently?
Like
levels of government?
Well, I think it's very interesting in that people are all over the place. You know, when Trump said it's up to the governors, and then it seems like when governors make a call, sometimes they don't like it and they want to overrule it, you know? I've heard that, like, Michigan's stay-at-home orders have been ruled unconstitutional, you know, or something, but they've been overturned by the state Supreme Court. So I think that there's a lot of – normally you want to have a lot of separation, you know, between the different levels. That's kind of one of the strengths here. But in a pandemic, that's really tested because we need to move rapidly and respond quickly, and we can't do that when there's gridlock and disagreements at the different levels. I'm doing this with my hand, but you couldn't see because it was too low.
Sure. So has your experience transformed how you think about your family, friends, and community, and in what ways?
Yeah, you know, I always used to think, because when I was 10, 15 years ago, I would always hear these doomsday predictions from people, you know, this giant virus is coming, or this is coming, or this is coming. And I had gotten really complacent. Like, whenever I would hear that stuff, I'd be like, no, I've been, you know, alive 36 years. Nothing bad's really happened, aside from obviously, you know, a couple major events. But this is a real reminder that these don't come out of – you should take that stuff seriously, you know, and plan for it. Because this came – you know, no one had even heard of this in last year, in 2019. And now it's – the entire globe is on varying degrees of lockdown. So you take it more serious.
It's a good segue into this. Knowing what you know now, what do you think that individuals, communities, or governments need to do and keep in mind for the future?
I mean, just more preparedness for something just like this. You know, we need to have our mask supplies up. We need to have PPE for healthcare workers. I think personally people should have a stockpile of beans and rice and stuff like that. Again, you can't make people do that, but just be smart. You know, if this dragged on for 6 months, we'd be okay here because we have food and that's a huge comfort, you know? But what would you do if things got worse? You know, what would you do if the power went out? There's so many questions that I haven't really considered before, but that are now something worth thinking about. So I think just preparedness is all you can do. Try to have more masks. I don't think this is the last time this is going to happen. You know, as the population continues to increase, we'll probably see this again in our lifetimes. So let's try and be ready.
Okay, thanks. Yep, that's all the questions I have for you.
Oh, man. Well, that was wonderful. You sure you don't want to ask anything else?
Is there anything else you'd like to say?
No, this is just going in the annals of history, so I feel like I should have really told a funny story or something.
Well, I think that was great. I think you gave a lot of good information.
Yeah, well,